Happy Wednesday. Most of you may know Daniel and Lauren Skelton. They're part of our Grace House family. It's a little over 2 years ago, they moved to Colorado Springs area in Colorado, actually right up close to Pikes Peak.
Yep, yep.
And they've been in Caris Bible College. And, you know, I so respect people that's willing just to pack up the U-Haul and leave everything behind to pursue God's plan and will for their life, and in their case, to go out and just dig some deep wells from that they can draw from the rest of their lives. And I know we're going to be blessed tonight as our brother shares with us. So would you join me in welcoming Daniel Skelton as he ministers God's word? Bless you, brother. We love you.
Yeah, we love you too. Well, awesome. There's a lot of new faces here I don't know. So that's awesome. Yeah, we packed up and took off, except for Lauren's the one that packed the U-Haul, not me. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that to her. But awesome. Well, so, yeah, I'm Daniel Skelton. I have a beautiful wife named Lauren. Lauren, can you wave? Most of you know her, but some of you may not. And then we have two awesome kids, Asher and Eliana. Asher is 10 and Ellie is 8, fixing to be 9. And so they're awesome. And we packed up and took off to Colorado. I was in Caris Bible College. It's through Andrew Womack. And I had no clue that I would become an instructor my third year. And so I'm an instructor out there, and I'm over something called activations. That word just means make something operative. So my heart and my passion, any of you that know me, Zach and Brady, hey guys, you know, anybody that knows me has been around me for a period of time. You know that my passion is to go, okay, how can the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4:11, how can we equip the saints through the fivefold ministry? We call it the fivefold ministry. So the pastors, evangelists, the teachers, the prophet, the apostle, how can we be put in position within the church to now go? So when we gather, we're training, equipping to go. Amen. That's what the word says for us to do. And so that's my passion. And so I'm doing that at Caris. I take the Caris students that sit in the word for 4 hours a day. And then I'm like, all right, now we're going to do it. And so we practice, we demonstrate, and we go out and do the word. Amen. So that's what my passion is. And I'll share a little bit of my testimony throughout this, but I'm not going to take a ton of time to do that tonight. But so if you'll go in your Bibles, if you brought one, or scroll in it, however you do that, go to Mark 4:35. Before I dive into this, I just want to lay a couple of foundations of something. So before we read this story, this passage and testimony of what Jesus did when they're crossing the Sea of Galilee, the disciples were with Jesus. Earlier on in chapter 3 in Mark, he called them to be with him. And the result of that was that now these guys are being taught by Jesus. They're being with Jesus. And that's our number one calling. I'm a lot about the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God and the love of God and identity. But it's a balance of not just going, well, we're just chasing after being able to prophesy or operate in the gifts or it's all about that. I think once we learn how to be with Jesus, we learn who he is, and we grow deeper in that understanding, that revelation, that knowledge, that it becomes more a truth to us of who we truly are, because we're made in his image. Amen? And that's something that you have to press into that. You have to take ownership of that, to lay down your life and fully empty yourself of yourself so that you can learn that. If you try to wrestle with your situations and what you're aware of and the life that you've encountered growing up through life, I mean, you have to understand, some of us had amazing parents. Parents are awesome, and I love my parents. But some of us were raised in a way that it was a way that seemed right to a man, but it leads to destruction. Some of us may have been raised in church. There's all kinds of different situations, but were you raised up in the way you should go
out of being with Jesus and knowing who you are by being with him. And you have to believe that. You know, Romans 3:21 says that we were sinners saved by grace, and we all were. If you're saved in this room, and I'm trusting that all of you are, it's the very next verse says that, but we've been justified through the works of the cross. And no matter how you feel, no matter what you try to do, you cannot earn righteousness. You cannot earn who you are. You have to just rest in the Word of God and what He says about you. And you become on this journey of, okay, well then, now how do I change culture? How do I change my sphere of influence? And I think this is really important for the church as a whole to get, because America, the world, needs the church to stand up. And it's not just in humanitarian type work where we feed the homeless. We go and, I mean, there's even celebrities that are having all kind of, I could get into all kind of stuff. There's all kind of crazy stuff in the world. And they are doing good things. They go to the hospital and visit the sick. But yet they're doing demonic things out in the open at their concerts. So anybody can do that kind of stuff. But when we do it with the true compassion of Jesus, that's what moved Jesus, was compassion. We see a result of miracle signs and wonders. It's never a natural thing. It's not a natural way of thinking, and it's not a natural production of when we step out and move in compassion. Because his true love, Jesus' true love, never separates from miracle signs and wonders. It produces them. So it's up to us to... It's that Ephesians 3:20. It's the according to the power that works, it works within you. So you have to release that and walk in it. So I want to dive into this and show you that. So in Mark 4:35, let's read this really quick. I'm going to read this and then I'm going to back up and break it apart. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Remember that. That is just weird. It's like, you know, when you were in preschool carrying the little mat to take a nap, you know? Was Jesus just walking around with a pillow all the time? Like, I'm looking forward to a nap. I don't know. I guess they didn't have coffee back then. Amen? No. And so he's asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace and be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him?" So let's break that apart. First, he says, "Let us cross over to the other side." So if you back up to verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." He said, us. He had given them the word that we are going over to the other side. That is a word that Jesus gave to them. It wasn't, "Let us try it. Let us see if it works." It was an exact word. And he was with them. They had been with him. They had been hearing all these great parables and teachings. They've seen him do miracles with Peter's mom and mother-in-law. And like all this stuff they were seeing and watching and witnessing being with him. And so now he's like, "I've taught you all these things, and now here is the test. Here's where we're going to put it to work." As James 1:22 says, if you're a hearer only and not a doer, you are deceived. Now, that's talking about the gospel, but it also applies to you. Think about it like this. If a football team, I don't really watch football, but if a football team sits in a locker room and they watch plays of their enemies, you know, the teams they're going to play against. And they just sit in that locker room and just watch that all day long. See, that knowledge can create pride because they're like, "Man, we know the schemes of our enemy. We know what the other team's going to do. We know all their plays, all their signals. We are prepared with knowledge. But when game day comes, when the Super Bowl or whatever, Roll Tide, no, War Eagle, no, I don't know, no. Don't throw anything. I'm just kidding. So hey, when the game day comes, they're like, man, we're ready. We have watched all this stuff. And they go out and they get their tail kicked because they have not gone out and did it. They have not practiced it. They haven't worked together as a team. And that's what's important with this is they were together. They were able to lean on one another and not just Jesus and be like, why? It's your fault. So he gives them this word, let us cross over. And the important thing, so point number one behind this, is that they need to recognize who they're with, who is with them. And that's important for us. You have to understand, and I know this could be a storm of life type sermon or teaching, and we'll kind of draw that out a little bit, but mainly what I want you to see here through this is that the Great Commission, and that's where we're headed in this. But this boat just signified them together, like Daniel and his friends, you know, his buddies in the book of Daniel. And, I mean, those guys could fit in a golf cart, and they changed the whole nation. And here are these 12, or we don't know how off all of them, but we know that they're with them, and they're crossing over this boat. So you need to recognize who is with you. Jesus never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He lives on the inside of you, and he's always with you. And you have to realize that. It's not about emotions or do I feel. I believe there's a positive place for emotions. I really do. But I think there's this balance of standing on what the Word says and going, Jesus is with me through this situation, so no matter what you're facing, and I can testify of some issues. I think we all could. In this world, you will have trouble. But we are more than conquerors. Do you know what that means? That's like a... It's like you not having to go to a boxing match and fight out and win, but you partake in the money that was rewarded to the one that won it for you. We receive and partake into the blessing that Jesus did when he, through the death, burial, and resurrection, and given us the Holy Spirit. That's how we prosper in all ways, not just finances, but prosperity means to get better. So that's how we prosper, is through this recognition of Jesus is with me through this circumstance. He's going to show me, guide me, give me heavenly strategies to navigate whatever I'm in. I'll show you a quick testimony. I've given away most of my business, but I have this main company, and I got a phone call. It's been like 7 weeks ago. It's in the first time this has happened, and I get a phone call. That is a really bad situation. I'm losing a lot of employees. I owe a lot of money within 2 days or I'm going to be in a lawsuit. All this stuff. And you know what I did? Thank God he had me in. I was studying Nehemiah for a while. And I just was like, all right, I'm going to take 3 days just to pray. I'm going to, yeah, there's labor to do, but I'm going to do it from a place of rest because I know that he is with me. So, pretty much what this now, once you realize that he's with you, it's what you're aware of the most, who and what you're aware of the most is what you'll become. Think about that. If all that you know and truly know, if you really know something, you'll do it because it causes a reaction. It causes a display of action. So if you're raised a certain way, or maybe you stick with a certain doctrine or theology or whatever, what you're aware of the most. I was raised. I won't get into a lot of my childhood, but I had a lot of crazy things happen when I was little, and just my dad. He's in prison right now for shooting at 5 police officers. So I was raised without a dad majority of my life, and. There's a lot of things I'd share, but I'm not. So I went through all this stuff, but my goal in life was to not be like that. I wasn't saved. I didn't understand all Christian stuff. I didn't understand the Bible. But I just didn't want to be like that. It's just put inside of us, like, we want to be better, right? That's why we need Jesus. But I just went on this journey where I just downward spiral, because that's all I knew. All I knew was to be like my dad. I didn't know another way. And until I started finding that and understanding that, I could become that. So you have to, no matter what it is, you can apply that in anything. The more you're aware of the Holy Spirit, the more you'll operate in the Holy Spirit. The more you'll walk by the Holy Spirit. So you have to really recognize that. So the other thing is that follow His voice and His word. He told us, let us cross the other side. It's about what His word is. Because if you build a life off of what you want to do, it is up to you to sustain it. Now, you can turn to God and He'll be there to help you, but He's looking you to find your life in Christ. Colossians talks about this. Ephesians, your life is hidden in Christ for you to find your life. All you young people, that is what it's about. You can do that now. God can show you what you're supposed to do, because that's the path that will be where your provision is what God has for you. That's the path that where you'll actually come alive. Like, I have walked away from things that I have people be like, why would you do that? In business or ministry, I've been involved in ministry for about 16 years now, and I just take all these risks, not because I decide to, but because Jesus says, okay, do this, Daniel. Lay that down. Quit doing that. I remember calling Pastor Eddie, I think it was like 2018, and the Lord told me to walk away from developing a subdivision and flipping houses. And it was very profitable, prosperous company. And to move over to a company that wasn't making anything, it made no natural sense whatsoever. But the Lord told me to do it, and I sought godly counsel. I took time and all this stuff, but I walked away from it. And now that path had provision for me to do what God has called me to do, and it made no sense. Sometimes it won't make any sense to you. Let us cross over to the other side. What's interesting with that is the Sea of Galilee had storms all the time, and at least four of these guys were professional fishermen. So it wasn't like a new thing, you know? So then in verse 36, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, and he was on the boat. So I'm just reading through this again. And other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the wave beat the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? So this is them playing like a victim card. How many of you in life, like, you go through stuff and you're like, Lord, where are you at? Help me out here. You just want to quit. Maybe it's facing financial trouble. Maybe it's facing something hard with your business, or if any of you have a ministry or something. Maybe it's just something with your family, with your child. And you just want to be like, God, I want to be saved from this situation. What are you going to do? But what if He's looking down at you and saying, what are you going to do with me? What are you going to do that you start going, it's not a work thing, but you go, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? Show me and I will do that. And see, what you have to understand is that they were already given the authority to rebuke that storm. They had the authority and power over that. So you have to realize that in your life, when things and trouble and all that's happening, you just go, okay, God, like, I know that you can show me how to prosper. You can give me wisdom, and I can actually flow and move through this problem and be creative and actually see the Lord fix it through me and with me. You don't just detach from them like, oh, okay, God, you trust me. See ya, bye. And you just go fix it. I can ride this bike. I don't need your help. You know, that's not what you do. But you go, okay, God, with you, I'm going to be sensitive to you and the Holy Spirit. And look at the word. And what does the word say that I already have been freely given? If you're going through a health problem right now, 1 Peter 2:24 said that by his stripes you were healed. Well, how did that happen? You were? Well, I most certainly don't feel like it, right? Sometimes we can feel that way, and God isn't condemning. He's not like, how dare you? But it's something for us to understand is that we have already been healed. How? By the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That we would prosper spirit, soul, and body. And there's a three-part working there that our Holy Spirit, the Spirit that we received when we got saved, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we, our soul, has to go, okay, I'm going to submit to what the Word says in this and believe that I'm already healed. Now, there's nothing wrong with others praying for you. It's totally biblical to have the elders to come up to the front and pray, heal the sick. There's nothing wrong with that. But also, there's a part on us that is part of this fivefold coming together, training, equipping. And Pastor Eddie has this vision that God gave him. I believe it was 2003 in March when the ants, was that it? Is that right? I can't believe I remember that. Praise Jesus. So he had this vision. If a lot of you haven't heard it, he's got a book on this that he wrote about the whole vision. Raise your hand if you haven't heard the ants heal vision that God gave Pastor Eddie, if you hadn't heard it. Okay, so there's several of you. So Pastor Eddie had this vision, and the Lord showed him this ant hill where all these ants were coming in with crutches and limping and, you know, just broken. And they're coming into this ant bed, and then they're coming out completely healed, completely whole. And they're being sent out on the boats and just taken off into the nations. And that's the vision for this house, is to train, equip that. And that's part of that, is that you don't have to just go to the pastor to receive a healing. It's the Holy Spirit that heals you anyways, right? Now, there's gift of healings. I'm not going to get into all that. There's a place for that. I'm not saying don't do that. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But there is a place for you to take up your authority and walk that out in your life so that the saints are being trained and equipped to do the work of the ministry, not just the people in the fivefold. I tell people that all the time. I'm over a program where I'm an instructor. I'm part of the leadership. It's called Healing Discipleship Program. And we have all these students. And I tell them all the time, do not look at me as your source for everything. I will quickly be like, nope. Who has never laid hands on somebody and seen them healed? You get up here and pray for them and heal them. Because the Bible says it, heal the sick. So they get up here and do it. They come up, you know, and I get them to do it. And that's because that I think that's part of the train equipment aspect of that. So they're blaming Jesus. Why in the world? Do you not care about us? Why would they ask that? I feel like that's such a dumb question. You know, it's like, no. Oh, I forgot about you guys. Sorry, I was sleeping, you know. He wasn't oblivious to it. I don't think he was a deep sleeper like that. But anyways, so blame and complacency is a slow death to the Holy Spirit working in your life. Not that it kills the Holy Spirit. That ain't happening. But it's just a slow recognition and awareness to the Holy Spirit in your life and what he's delegated to you. And so when you blame and complain and not have thankfulness for where and no matter what, the season that you're in right now, the health problems you're facing, whatever it is, family issues, you have to go, okay, God, I am thankful that you're making a way through this, that no matter what, this works out for my good because I love you and I'm with you. I'm being with you. I'm choosing you. It's every day. It's a choice. And I'm telling you, I'll get to some more stuff later, but so Jesus brought his pillow. That's weird, right? Remember that part. What does a pillow represent? Think about that. Rest? Peace? I mean, usually you don't take a nap if you don't have peace. That's kind of hard, you know? And I don't know about you, but have you ever been on a boat in the sea? Ugh. Talk about some Dramamine or the Holy Spirit or something. You need something. But, you know, but peace, rest. There's all kind of things that the pillow represents, support, trust. Who does that sound like? The Holy Spirit. I believe that was a prophetic act that Sure, I know that there's a storm coming. I'm not looking for that. Who gives a rip? I'm going to bring my pillow. And out of a place of rest, I'll conquer, I'll take on any single thing. It doesn't matter. And that's not a prideful thing. It's a confidence in God that He can work through you to do anything that you need. And see, that's the result. Like, that's the basic things of just getting started in this stuff. Then it's, which I'm going to get to in a minute, but the Great Commission. Healing the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. There's a great commission for all of you. If you wonder, some of you may be wondering, what am I called to do? You know, maybe you've not been a Christian long, or you have been, and you're just like, but I just don't feel like I'm waking up every day in God's will. Some of you may be feeling that. But do you know that there are scriptures in the Word that already tells you things that you can be doing? When I first moved to Florence, Alabama, it was summer of 2009, and I go to this church, and I still talk with the pastors and things, so everything's fine what I'm saying, but I go to this church, and I've never witnessed anything with the Holy Spirit. Like, when I got saved, Jesus could have been a hippie in the 60s. I had no idea. And so I was in Brazil for a while, but anyways, I move up here after I got saved. I'd only been saved for close to a year or so, and I get led by the Spirit to this church, and I go in there. It's a Saturday night, and everybody's laid out on the floor, except for this really big dude that smelled like a bottle of wine. Anyways, I'll get to that in a minute. Not promoting that either. I'm just saying. Anyways. So everybody's laid out on the floor, and I was like, what in the world is going on here? I'd never seen nothing like that. This is weird, you know? And I remember this little short lady come up to me, and she's like trying, you know, everybody's falling out. She's putting her hands on them. She goes and put her hand on me. I was like, don't touch me. Y'all are going to hell. Like, I didn't know. I shouldn't have said that. But she was just like, it's okay, bless you, and hopped off. Her name's Marcia Clemens. And so, and this church is called The Ark. So I have a great relationship with her. We text and talk to her. And so I was just like, this is weird. But after I left, I was like, there's something to that. I don't know what it is, but there's something to this. It was weird. Like, I was torn apart. So next week comes around, and I go anyways. I was like, man, I don't know. There's something about that church. And I go to it. This started me off on a journey, because that summer they had something called internship, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, I got thrown on a stage preaching a week after I got saved, which I don't know how much that was the Lord. I had no idea what I was doing, didn't know the Word, and they were like, just share your testimony. And so, but I go to this church, and they're like, all right, we're starting this thing called internship. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. I'll learn some churchy things, you know, like administration stuff, I guess. I don't know. What does that mean? So I go to it. And they all put us there's like 30 of us, and they put us in this room, and he could have locked the door. It's what it felt like. And he gets his Bible, and the pastor did, and he goes, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he reads these 9 gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he goes, there's other gifts in Romans and in Ephesians, but he's like, now these 9 gifts, we're about to practice them. And I was like, what? First off, what's the gift? Like, I don't know. Like, you know. So I'm panicking. I'm all in the, I'm not filled with the, I don't even know what I was filled with yet. And so he goes, all right, well, we're going to do this stuff. And I was like, all right, well, we just start prophesying over one another and all this stuff and start operating the gifts. And I watched how this started to affect, and there was a lot of things to this. I don't have time to go over all of it. But we started to really go into, all right, guys, let's operate in the power of God through the love of God. And I watched how, man, we started learning to prophesy. I was like, this is dumb. Like, I didn't know you could do that. And I could give you scripture after scripture, so if you want to talk afterwards, bring your scripture and we can talk about it. But I just was like, this is awesome. We started training, equipping in this stuff, and man, we started going out in the streets. The first night I go to ECM, y'all remember that hospital? Yeah. And I go, I didn't know that ICU was on the second floor, but the Lord told me to start going there on Friday nights, and I wrestled that for a little while. So, but I go, and this lady's like, well, I asked this lady behind the counter, can I just encourage people? I was trying to be Jehovah sneaky and not, you know, I'm here to heal people, really, you know, by the Holy Spirit. And so she was like, well, there's a door open right there, but that's all you can go to. And I was like, thank you. And so I go in there, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, why am I here? And this guy's in a coma. So I just, all right, Lord, heaven come, be healed. I don't know. I walked out and I left. I come back the next Friday, and this lady, I get emotional, this lady said, look in that room. And I just looked over, and, you know, the bed was long enough you could see feet in there if there were any, but it was empty and clean. And I said, what? And she said, the very next day that man got healed. He came out of his coma completely healed, and they released him. And I don't say that to, yeah, praise Jesus. I don't say that to boast in me at all. How could, without Jesus, I'm like, oh, it's crazy. You'll be like, how did this dude, even now, you'll be like, how did this dude get to where he's at? Praise God. But so this started this movement within this hospital. They started even letting us in the ER, which was like illegal. They're like, you cannot tell anybody, get in here. And they had these clipboards that highlight names and stuff, how the worst people in the hospital. And then we started going to the nursing home. It was crazy. It was wild. But I started seeing the book of Acts come alive because we just started going, okay, God, we want to know who you are, who we are, and now we're just going to do it. And we're just going to step out. And man, I watched all this happen. That's why I have such a passion for it. It isn't something I just watched on YouTube or read a good book about. I actually experienced what it looks like to walk out what we would really call revival, to awaken a city. I watched how the mayor did not like us. We were like the weird church. They'd say things like, I bet they don't have health insurance, you know. They believe so much. I don't know if that's a really bad compliment, but do have health insurance. And so, anyways, there was all this stuff. And that's what this started to produce. But the point is here is that you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Romans 8:11, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. There is no separation where the gifts and the power of God just went boop and it's gone and it's only for the superstars. It is for every one of us. And I'm telling you, if you just start doing it, you just walk up to people like, hey, my name is so-and-so. Can I just encourage you? And watch how the Lord starts to give you things. And I could go through all that and all that, but I'm not doing that tonight. But there's a whole way of doing this where you just practice. You step out. You push yourself. And I'm telling you, you'll watch God give you, the Holy Spirit knows what gift you need to minister to that person in front of you. And he'll give it to you. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're getting a picture of something or you're seeing something and you're like, hey, is this for you? And I'd love to share a lot more testimonies, but for a second time, I got to move on. So, all right, so starting in verse 39 again. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that the wind and sea even obey him? See, we are called to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to do that. And now, see, the devil has no authority over you. He has no authority in your life unless you delegate that to him. You give that to him. Because, see, there's a spiritual war happening whether you want it or not. How many of you have seen The Patriot? Men in here? Like, all right. Well, praise God. I'm not advertising that as a Christian movie. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But, you know, Mel Gibson, he's like not wanting to go to war, and his sons are. And he's just like, no, you don't know what's coming through that. He has wisdom and all this stuff about war. Well, the next thing he knows, he looks out the front, and the war has made it to his front yard. And see, that's exactly what happens in our life if you get complacent and passive. There is a war happening out here in the spirit. It's not flesh and blood. And it's not something you have to be on demonic eggshells about. I'm not saying that. That's what I call it. Where you're like, oh my gosh, there's a demon everywhere. Bless the Lord. You know, it's not like that. They're in a demon on every doorknob. But it is something to walk in discernment and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the compassion of God, the fruit of the Spirit, and balance all of this with the Word and with the Holy Spirit to do the Great Commission. See, we are called to walk in this courage and invade the uncomfortable. And what is courage? It is courage is prayed up strength in adversity. Your strength comes from the Holy Spirit. And your strength in everything that you are called to do and be equipped with comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Great Commission was not a suggestion. It was, hey guys, let's get out here and do this. It's not supposed to be kept in the four walls. And this isn't like a rebuke or anything. This is just something we all need help with. We just had Todd White out not long ago, and boy, that guy, anybody know who Todd White is? A lot of you. He used to come to the Ark a long time ago, and so I know him, and I got him come out to our program. And man, watching this guy, you go anywhere with him, you're going to be there hours. People getting healed everywhere and left and right. And not all of us, we have families and stuff like that. There's a balance in things. But everywhere you go, you can be asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want to say about this person? And you pull the gold out of them that Jesus put there through compassion. So there's this place for us to do this Great Commission and not be so focused on our storm and distracted by that. And what really produces this, where you get boldness, where you get this awareness, there's so many things you could go over with this really, but the fear of the Lord, a healthy fear of the Lord, where it's not like if you don't do it, he's going to get your, hiney. He's going to make you have a flat tire or something like that. He's not out to do that. John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus can bring life and life abundantly. But where's your pillow? You focus on what you have and been equipped with for what Jesus has given you. He's been free, what you've been freely given. And be more focused on the work of the kingdom. That's what a true legacy is that we're focused on heaven to earth and things that are eternal. That's thinking, that's being spirit-led, is that you're focused more on things that are eternal value. There's a balance in that. We can get so caught up in our life and even to be blessed and prospered that we get complacent in this work that Jesus gave us to change the culture and sphere of influence that's around us through the power, miracle, signs, and wonders that you've been given through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Well, if you guys will all stand, I will pray for you guys. And we're going to do this, right? We're going to step out and do this. I call it your chicken line. You have to cross over that. Back when COVID was happening, I would take this white table out and it had a sign on it said like need prayer and encouragement. And I was taking some of the guys that were working out at my house. We have like a little Bible study. And man, we would just see people getting healed and just loving on people. It was awesome. You know, there's a training equipping to take place for us to go and do this. Amen? All right, so if you would just lift your hands, I'm going to pray for us. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power that you've been given to us and authority that you've been given to us, that God, we would be more aware of your heavenly assignment to do the Great Commission. To be with you, that no matter what storms of life and season of life that we're in, we say yes to you, Jesus, so that you would get your full reward of what you want to see as your bride of Christ goes out into this world. Lord, I thank you that you're showing us, you're showing even Grace House strategies on how to disciple even more. God, I bless the School of Creativity, God. I thank you for the resources for that to happen and to happen the way that is in Pastor Eddie's heart. And Lord, I thank you that you're speaking clear to him and showing him strategies and bringing people to help train and equip the saints. And Lord, I thank you for that, that we would choose and be more aware of your plan for the church and grow more in that awareness. Thank you, Father. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys so much. I guess I'll hand it over to Pastor Eddie. So thank you guys so much. It was a blessing.
Yes, let's thank you, Lord. Thank you, Daniel. That was awesome. We heard a whole lot from the Word tonight. And I want to ask our prayer team members to come up here. And I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to people. I just feel the Lord's presence on what Daniel has shared. And I encourage you to come pray. And Daniel, if you and Lauren wouldn't mind just being up here too. Some of you may need them to, want them to pray for you. And I believe there's some activation that can occur here tonight as people pray with you. And so, Lord, we just invite the Holy Spirit right now. Move upon each and every heart. Thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, for the way it was presented, the meat that it contained. And, Lord, we just sense your Holy Spirit speaking to us through the word tonight. Be filled with the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And we just decree and declare over your lives tonight that the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, He releases those gifts when needed. And so as you step out in faith, we are believing with you that those gifts are going to be right there. Johnny on the spot, ready, equipping you for who the Lord puts in front of you. And so, Lord, we just ask for courage, we ask for boldness, and we say yes and amen to what we've heard tonight. Would you just say that out loud? Lord, I'm saying yes and amen to what I've heard tonight. Yes. And Holy Spirit, have your way. We're just going to worship here for a few moments. Would you come? If you need prayer, just step out from where you are. Make your way forward. And there's folks up here that will believe with you tonight for your breakthrough, for answer to your prayer. Just come. Yes. Yes.
Let's see. Yeah. Okay. I had earlier in worship, I had if you have a tingling or a pain that happens kind of right here in your arm. If you'd come up here, and then your feet, these are just words of knowledge, and then like something with the feet, if you have pain in your feet, both feet is what I felt. And then there was another thing with pain shooting down the front of the knee in the center all the way down. So if you'll come up here, Lauren and I will pray for you.
No place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be.